Welcome to Language Power. Learn Norwegian in 17 years. After listening to... I don't think we have time for that, this intro today.
No.
And why? Because Jamie Jeppe wanted a part two. Yes.
Oh, for the, two. For the village people.
Yes, you said that you... We just stopped too early, so we need a part two.
I think so. I think we got... carried away and started just diverging off the subject of
I don't think you should say anything negative about your own podcast.
Oh, very sorry
but, we were but you had more things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think we both did, didn't we?
Did we? Oh, I pressed the wrong button. I was actually supposed to press So, tell me, Jeppe, about your problems we're facing in Norway. Tell me about the language barriers that you had. Is it... So my question would be for you as an immigrant, refugee actually, an illegal immigrant without any papers. I've seen through your drawers and you have nothing there.
Oh, man.
So... do you think you can get far in Norway with just sign language? Because I had a TV concept many years ago, which was how far can you get with sign language?
Like semiotics or just miming or actual sign, just normal?
No, I'm not. Body language.
Body language.
Yes.
I see.
So they were supposed to put me up in North Cape, like the northern town in the world, and see how far south I could get. Could I get to South Africa with just body language?
Does walking count? Would you just walk, or did you have to hitchhike? And
we had the limit, time limit, and that was 24 minutes.
24 minutes.
No, but we had. You can walk, but can you? What would you eat and sleep?
Where would you sleep?
Yes, not outside with the bears and wolves and the lemons.
The lemons.
You know the lemon?
You can't, lemons are dangerous, are they?
You call it, say lemons in English too?
What's a lemon?
Lemon is like a fat mouse.
A fat, a lemming.
Lemming.
Lemming. Lemmings, do they exist anymore? I didn't think they
Oh, were. Yeah. All over Norway, there are more lemmings than the Norwegians.
It explains the innocence of...
But it's very easy to kill them.
Yeah.
You know what to do?
No, I don't. Is there a special trick?
You scare them.
Oh, and they just die from fear?
From heart attack.
Oh.
Yes. And that's you can see they simulate do the heart attack as humans do. They press their chest and... Oh. And then you hear the death sound...
Oh.
And then they die. And they, on the back.
Poor lemmings.
Lemmings, yeah, yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's sad you can't use them for anything. Like the fur is...
useless.
Useless. The meat is...
not very good.
I don't know. Oh. but yeah, and they're too small. But the lemmings are very nice indicators for you to know what kind of other animals there are many of.
Oh, because if there's more lemmings, there's less likely to be predators.
Yeah, less foxes. And if there's much lemmings, then what do lemmings eat? It will be much of that.
What do lemmings
eat?
Since
they're there. Yes, they eat the lemons.
Oh.
So language barriers.
That's a good example of language barriers there, I think.
How far can you... what were your troubles coming to Norway?
I actually found an interesting statistic out a few weeks back that more Norwegians can speak English than Canadians in terms of percentage.
Can speak Norwegian?
Can speak English.
Oh.
So 86% of Norwegians can speak English to some level or another, whereas 78% of Canadians can speak English.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive. So it's nice, but it's embarrassing because I do want to talk in Norwegian. I mean, I wouldn't be on this course otherwise, you know.
Go on, we have 40 minutes. Yeah.
And it is strange. Like, and what I do find funny is a lot of Norwegian get very insecure about their Norwegian accent when they're speaking English. But from an English ear, it's just nice. It's different. It's not something that's going to get bullied. It seems like mostly Norwegians that are good of English are more critical of Norwegian speaking English than English people, which I find quite strange, actually.
So what you're trying to say is that it's difficult to speak Norwegian because every Norwegian wants to speak English?
Yeah, sometimes.
Because they can speak the language, but they don't have anyone to speak with?
Or it's either that or the slang, because you go to different areas. So when I first came here, I mentioned a fair bit that I worked on this building site in a town called Rørvik in Nord-Trøndelag.
Yeah.
And there was guys from all over. So you had Bergen, Stavanger, Trondheim, Tromso, I think there was a guy from. There's a guys from Porsgrunn and Skien in Telemark. So everyone's accent was very different. So,
but there's one thing that's common for all those accents is that mostly Norwegians, they're very influenced by American films.
Yes.
And so, they want to speak like that. So
yeah, it's embarrassing.
So when they have a possibility to speak to someone who speaks English, it's, "Hi, Jamie, how are you?"
Yeah, I don't get that, the American
"I'm back
twang.
With a vengeance and yeah. a cup of coffee."
Yeah, that is strange. That is very strange.
So they're not trying to speak English. They're trying to speak voice
American
over
English. Yeah.
English with lots of... And there are even some girls who speak like that.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't get it. It's especially from an English point of view, because it makes you realize how culturally relevant an American accent is sometimes. And that just comes from me.
Language power.
Actual language power.
Even the language power logo is influenced by American.
I didn't even realize that. I've just noticed.
Or because if it would be a Norwegian voiceover, it would be
language power. How would it be? Language power.
Language power.
Language power.
That'd language power.
Language power.
So, but other things about Norway is that Norwegians are known for being reserved and private, and that's the biggest export Norway has. When you say Norway, you don't say Ice Bears or Jo Nesbø, the writer, or Aha. You say, oh, cold people, reserved and private.
Yeah, that and black metal, I think, are the two things that you get from Norway.
But is that true? Are they reserved and private, and how?
I actually think that that's slightly regional, because I've experienced more reservedness in certain small towns than I would from people from cities, which is, you'd expect the opposite. Where I've been to Bergen, people are quite friendly. They're quite chatty. Trondheim, everyone's very friendly and chatty. Oslo, people are a little bit suspicious to start with, but then they're quite friendly. Vennesla, people were really friendly. They were quite crazy. They were good fun. Halden, people were quite standoffish. Sarpsborg, which is on the same side, they were very friendly, and so were people from Moss. So I think it.
I think everybody is friendly, but are they reserved Norwegians?
Yes, I guess that's what I mean. Is they're less reserved. When I'm saying they're friendly, they're less reserved, and
so they take contact with you like they do in UK.
Yeah, like there's people I've met out there that I still talk to. Like for example, in Rørvik, I've still got people I still talk to there by messenger every now and then.
And people in the districts, are they? So there, because you've mentioned some districts, some village-ish. Yeah. So it's just a myth?
I think people, right, so my theory is that people in villages are stranger. How? Like they're weirder. Like
look weirder. They have like a He-Man haircut. And
no, they're just a bit more odd. But I think it's because of the insular nature of living in a village.
Do you have an example of oddness from the Norwegian village?
Language power.
So let's think. A good example: Hokksund. Hokksund was a very strange place. Their main restaurant is a kebab van off of a roundabout that's got a little car park. And the kebab van basically just cooks frozen food, and everyone says it's the best food ever.
Yeah, they have that when they have like official states people coming.
Yeah, to pretty much.
They're visiting Hokksund.
We stayed in this hotel in Hokksund, and it was just really weird. Like, it was run by this really sweet lady in her 70s, and you could tell when she was in the hotel because you could smell the cigarette smoke, because she would just smoke in the hotel. And she would walk around just turning all the lights off all the time, and go, "Oh, this is too expensive. I don't know why I've got you here," all the time. That'd be one of the first things she used to say. And everything had this really thick layer of dust, and the hotel looked like it was from The Shining. And that was the best. Like, the beds looked like they were from the 80s, and they were tiny and lumpy. We should go there one day just to see it, just so you can see how mad it was there. But yeah, and the people from Hokksund are very starey. It was very The Hills Have Eyes. Like, and I did try to talk to some once, but they just sort of, they
so
were
the people
very,
are also from Shining.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, they were a bit different. Let's just put it that way. The way they looked at you, and
because you look a bit strange.
Maybe
though.
It's just don't see many people that are brown. Maybe that's what it is.
But you're not brown. You're
a mixed race. Look at him.
Yeah, mixed race. It's a lot of in Hokksund.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they're known for.
I think that's more inbreeding, isn't it? That's mixed because they've just.
I think a mixture of everything.
Yeah, like the webbed feet and the gills.
And you have purple kids and.
Yeah, it was just a strange town. But then, like, there was this other town called Molde. I was in the north, I remember going out for a drink, and then it being, I think it was about 1 a.m., and I wanted to get some food, and the only place that was open was a petrol station that sold burgers. And I went there, and there's this massive queue of people for these petrol station burgers, which I thought was funny in the first place. And then there was a fight in the queue because people were pushing in front of each other. And I turned around, and it was a guy in his 50s, coked up to the eyeballs by the looks of it, that had pushed in and then just tried to start a fight with a load of teenagers, like really happy, like innocent looking teenagers, just to try and get a burger 2 minutes faster. And I thought that was a bit weird, but it reminded me of parallels from my hometown in Croydon, because I think crazier things happen in cities, but crazier people generally come from villages.
Yeah, but gas station burgers, that's very common all over Norway.
What, just fighting for gas station burgers?
Drunk people fighting, you know, when you go to Facebook, the first thing that comes is YouTube Facebook videos. From fightings at gas stations, burger shops. So that's not some special with Norway, though.
Yeah, no. I've seen like in my hometown, I witnessed what ended up turning into like a 40, 50 person brawl over the last chicken wings in a chicken shop.
Yeah. But they've tried to, because here in Horten also, they had lots of problems with that. When the bar closes, everybody wants to buy a burger. And in the burger queue, it's always fighting. So the politicians, they decided to close the kebab shops a couple of hours earlier than the bars close. So you don't have that meeting place for fighting. So what happened then? Everybody went to the gas stations to buy burgers instead. So they just moved the fighting to an other open area away from where people lived.
Oh, so now there's less complaints because there's less people living there.
Yeah, but there's still the knife stabbing and
the fighting at the gas station.
But some other place where it's nicer and quieter. And so
that's a sad decision, isn't it?
Yeah, but they do that all the time in Norway. They do that with the hookers also. You know, in Oslo, back in the days, you have Karl Johan, the main street. Mm. In the bottom of the, in the one end of that main street, which is Europe's, Scandinavia's, Norway's biggest walking street, where you go shopping, like Oxford Street. And on one end you have the castle, and on the other end you had the something called Plata, which is a meeting place for all the drug addicts and hookers and prostitutes, you call it now. And then the politicians decided that, oh, we can't have them here. And everybody was happy, like, yeah, of course we can't have them here. We must help them. And what they did was they just moved them.
What, next to Parliament so they could get easier access?
To the parallel roads, because this road was... where the tourists came, because you have the train station from the airport, and they didn't want the first thing you see when you come to Oslo that you see the prostitutes and the drug addicts. So they moved them another road. And then there it came a very famous hotel where all the celebrities wanted to be.
Yeah.
So, and that was in the same streets. And then they were like, shit, let's move them a parallel road a bit further up. So they kept on moving them here and there, and now they're in Brugata, which is a place where it's a bit more quiet. You don't hang around there if you're a tourist. So they're just hiding prostitutes and the problems from the tourists, because it's about the tourism.
So it's all about the perception of how people think you are more than the actual reality of fixing the problem itself.
But they're not quiet and reserved, as you say. Especially not after a beer or two, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's completely different. After a few drinks, Norwegians just change into a completely different personality and race. And
do you feel that they, if you meet them on Monday or Tuesday, you can almost feel like, I want to talk to you, but just wait till Saturday because I have so much I want to ask you, but I have some
I don't have that issues yet, but I have seen people... on the Monday or Tuesday after, say, talking to them like for half an hour or so, like
half an hour,
meeting them in the pub or something, like you're having a chat outside, half an hour, you know, and then you see them Monday morning walking somewhere and they avoid you, or people get worried, or they get anxious because they think, oh no, I might have to talk to this person sober now and, you know, develop an actual interpersonal relationship with this person instead of just drunkenly talking to him, running away.
Mm.
It's very strange.
But what about the job market? Is it an advantage that you speak an international language that so many percent Norwegians speak? Or is it a disadvantage? Or does it make you an alien?
I think there's a mixed bag. I think the more you know Norwegian, the better chance you have of getting a job over here. But I remember reading a news report, this I think he was Pakistani Norwegian, so he was born Pakistani heritage, born in
Pakistani
Norway. Yeah. some nice tabla playing there, young man.
So you read the Pakistani newspaper?
And no, it was a study. This guy basically sent his CV out with his Pakistani name on top and with a Norwegian name on top, and there was no difference other than that. And he sent them to the same companies, and he had a 70% better response with the Norwegian name, and that was the only difference on the CV.
So that was not a job. So he didn't apply on McDonald's then, because it would be opposite.
They're
not looking for white people who can complain. They're just looking for dark
foreign
people.
Workers.
Go and make more French fries. Yes, boss.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mean that it's...
So that's interesting. But I think the more Norwegian you know, the easier it's going to be to get a job anywhere.
But your name is Jamie Andrews. If you're... which is a foreign name...
Mm.
But if your name was Abdullah Fatima
I think it would be even harder because the preconceptions of the Norwegians have of English people.
And the sex, because Fatima is a woman's name and Abdullah is a man's name, it would be confusing. But yeah, it would be even worse, you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's been proven to be so because of experiments like the one that I was talking about.
But Jamie Andrews is also a foreign name.
Yeah, but that, isn't that why you decided to call me Jeppe Andersen in the first place?
That's right. So what about government bureaucracy? Do you find that is it challenging? Things take long time. There are lots of forms to fill out, or are you? Is it like UK? Or is it the bureaucracy is partially also because they speak English but not so good, so it's misunderstandings both ways?
I think. All right. So I had an absolute nightmare getting my immigration status in Norway. Partly because I came over just before Brexit and COVID was happening, I think, at the time. But what was supposed to take 12 to 16 weeks to get your ID, do your interview, visit the police, you know, talk to the tax people, all that stuff, took 65 weeks.
Wow.
And like there was points where the police had lost my pictures. Because I had to
lost
go in.
Your pictures?
Yeah, yeah. There was a point where I had to go in and get my photos taken for my ID card and have fingerprints taken. And they said, if you don't hear from us within a month, give us a ring. So I hadn't heard from them for five, 6 weeks. So I phoned them and I didn't get anywhere. So I sent a quick email and I got one of the officers got back to me on the email like, oh, you must have not done this, 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 and this. And I was like, well, actually, I have done this, 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 and this. And then it was like, all right, I'll go and check. And then a few days later, I get an email back going, oh, I'm very sorry. You need to come back in. We've lost all of your information. And they'd lost my pictures. And it was all digital pictures. This is the thing. So they'd lost my pictures and they'd lost my fingerprints and I had to go in and do it all again.
And footprints, do they have your footprints?
Yeah, and they smell your breath and they...
they do that too?
No. I mean, they were lovely, nice people there, but it was just that sort of stuff happened all the time.
So you're... So warning to everybody who wants to become a Norwegian citizen, it's...
Yeah, and like it took me 6 months to get a bank account.
Six months. So those 6 months you had like cash? Or
no,
a
British account? I had to use the missus's account, basically. So everything I earned went straight into her account, which was a bit of a nightmare.
Oh.
But it was, yeah, it was just a nightmare because I went, because you get a D number as a foreigner, which is your tax number for working over here. And they gave me a D number. And what I didn't realize is that they recycle D numbers. So I had someone else's D number from the past.
Like ID number.
Yeah. So I went to the bank and I gave the guy my D number. He had my passport, blah, blah, blah. And the guy that was making the account got really stressed and really flustered. And he was like, I just need to go and check something. And then he come back and he's just like, oh, this has never happened to me in the 30 years that I've worked here, blah, blah, blah. I'm really stressed. Are you okay? And I'm like, you haven't told me what's going on yet. Hmm. And he was like, look, there's another person that has your D number that has an account with us and she'd taken out a load of loans 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it turns out I'd had some old lady's D number from before that had taken loads of loans out from the bank and then had died and not paid it.
Mm, so and she looked just like you.
Yeah. So, clearly it must be the beard. So I had to get investigated.
So they thought that you were a swindler. You can say swindler in English?
So I had to get investigated for fraud and stuff like that. And he was like, you must be really stressed. But because I've had all these other problems trying to get my immigration ID and that, I was just so not bothered by it. I was so used to all of these bureaucratic.
Did they think that you were the same person?
Well, it was really strange. He just wanted to do it really by the book. So they did all the investigations and they said, we'll get back to you in 4 weeks' time.
With so, in that voice, in that tone? So you
we
sounded
get
angry.
Back to you we'll in
get
four
back
weeks,
to you in
so,
yeah. 4 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get back to you in 4 weeks.
Like
time.
That, or were they friendly?
He was panicked, I think. He was a bit stressed. And so they got back to me and they sent me a letter with the account, like everything's working. But what I didn't realize is you need to have your name written on the post box.
Mm.
Because if your name's not written on the post box, they won't deliver it.
What do you have in UK? Fingerprints?
No, you have letterboxes, so you just post it directly into the house. You don't have the postbox outside the house.
Ah.
So
you don't have letterboxes in UK?
Yeah, the letterbox is in the door.
In the door.
Your front door.
Okay,
so you
don't have separate...
No, you just go straight, it goes straight through.
Mm.
So that doesn't happen. So it was really... it was really strange, and I think I was working away, so the letter bounced back, and because they wouldn't deliver the letter unless I was there in person or my name was on the box, like I said. So then I phoned them up and said, all right, can you resend the letter? And they were like, oh, we've lost you on the system. Oh no, you've got a D number of this woman. We need to reinvestigate you for fraud. They had to do the entire investigation all over again. Because the bank had lost everything.
Did they tell you how long jail time you could get if...
Nothing like that. They just kept... It was just constant mistakes.
But did you feel like I need a lawyer now?
Although I did get... I did start looking at the law a little bit because I was thinking I might have a case. I nearly went to the newspapers about it all because just the amount of... like muck-ups and just mistakes that were made bureaucratically.
Do you think the newspaper would care, or would they say, yeah, that's Norwegian procedure?
Maybe, and that would just say everything. That would sum it up, I think, really well. But yeah, I think the experience in terms of government for that, maybe I was very unlucky, but I don't have a lot of faith in the bureaucratic side of things in a lot of ways to get things done. Although I will say this, The health side of Norway, Helsenorg, is amazing. It compared to the UK, it is so much better.
Yeah, I think
so much faster.
Compared to the rest of the world.
It really is. The health service and the way that you're treated and the fact that, you know, they actually have the budget to look after you.
So how can we link this to the village?
Different. I don't know. You asked me about the government.
What about the local authorities here in the districts?
I've not had much to do with the local authorities.
But when you moved here to, because you came right to the districts.
Yeah.
Without checking out Norway as it is in like Oslo, which is the...
Yeah, I lived in Bergen for about 3 weeks, but I was in a hostel. So I don't think that really counts.
A hostel.
Mm.
And so what do you think was strange, like just visual strange things in the districts, like when you move to Horten, which is a little town? For example, you probably noticed that lots of properties, they don't have fences.
Yeah.
Against which separates their property from the neighbors, for example.
Yeah.
And that's that, in England, that's...
That's weird.
Yeah.
And the other thing is... people tend to have their gardens go the whole way around the house here.
Mm.
So in the UK, you'll have a front garden and a back garden.
Not side gardens?
No, it's very rare. You might have a little alleyway going down the side to get from the front to the back that you've got a gate in between.
But isn't it nicer to have it all the way around? But that's just a question of economy.
Yeah, economy and taste, I think. I think it's because people are less reserved when they're out in public in the UK and they'll chat to each other and stuff, but they're more reserved when they're at home. So you want to keep your home life private. So you have the back garden because you don't want people looking in. Mm. Whereas in Norway, you can walk past someone's house and see people enjoying themselves in their garden.
Enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
So what about moose warning signs? That must be... probably one of the most exciting weird Norwegian things you've seen.
It is
seen,
cool. Is what I've noticed is the road signs are the same colours as the road signs in the UK, which is quite nice. So that's very similar. In terms of road signs, obviously Fart Dump was probably my favourite for about 10 minutes when I first moved here, because that's the childish...
Speed dump, fart stump.
Yeah, right. Speed bumps. Yeah, fart is speed. In Norwegian, dump is bump.
Mm.
So, yeah, that... And I really liked the zebra crossing guy. So, you know, the guy wearing the hat that was crossing the road.
The Michael Jackson guy.
Yeah, I think he looks really cool. And you saw that... You see that more in districts... than you do in the city, because they've upgraded to the unisex just stick man or stick person.
Mm. Yeah, with walking stick?
No, just like they've been drawn, like, you know. You
oh, stick man, for stick
yeah, yeah, or stick, mm. stick, the unisex
So you feel
person.
That the zebra cross man has more I think personality he, yeah, cool. in the districts?
They're just really cool. Like, I literally call him the cool crossing guy.
You want to meet him and
with the hat, know, yeah. He like he's on his way to like deliver a blues concert or something like that, or play some ska. Or
they don't wear hat anymore, then though.
Yeah, that's true. You don't see other than beanie hats.
So for me, he looks like Freddy Krueger in some way, because it's always on the way. Zebra crosses are like near schools.
Mm.
And there's Freddy Krueger growing. So I've when I was younger, I used to tag. You call it tagging?
Yeah.
With a marker, the yeah. three stripes of a claw out of his hands.
Oh, that's cool.
And then he became Freddy Krueger. That was my tagging.
I like that.
I worked for Nightmare on Elm Street movies as a
part
promoter.
Of the marketing team. That, I mean, we could use this guy actually as our. Our Instagram post for the episode, maybe.
Yeah.
The cool guy, make him look like Freddy.
But alcohol probably was all the taxes and the prices of alcohol in the districts. How did you notice that? Did you feel that people don't give a shit? They go out and drink? Or
I think you notice home? That everywhere when you first come to Norway, the prices of alcohol. But I think the district people were much more likely to just get tanked up indoors at home and then go out and turn up to like in Horten, people don't come out until about 11 in the evening.
In the districts, yeah, that's very normal. They
yeah.
empty everything they have and get totally drunk, and then they're
yeah.
not...
And then they have two or three top-up drinks, and then...
They can't get yeah. in the bar because then, the doorman yeah. is, you're too drunk.
Yeah.
I've weird. Been like building up to this a whole day. Yes, that's why you're not coming
yeah,
in here.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, then they'll have maybe two drinks, and then they go to whoever's house has the most drinks again afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's
after party, Nachspiel.
Yeah, you might as well just stay there and have a house party, and then instead of going out, because that's
yeah,
because it feels like yeah, going you go out to have a recruitment for the party.
What and about then, the recycling? Was that an issue for you? Because Norway is one of the world's most environmental conscious countries. You know, you have more electric cars here than any place in the world. That's not because of the environment, it's because it's
of the benefits.
Yeah, but
I've never seen
in the districts, did you think that they would be so caring about environment in the districts? Because it's always
yeah.
That's a Norwegian dialect.
Mm.
It always seems like they're just as environmentally conscious in the districts as they are in the big cities. That was a very difficult sentence for me to say.
Mm.
You know, I've never spoken so little Norwegian in my course.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think...
Take it away.
I think the first thing that I noticed was pant, because you don't have pants in the UK.
Pant. They don't wear pants here?
No, pant.
Pant. Oh, pant. Like,
yeah. So,
what do you call pant in English?
So there's no such thing. So for the English listeners and the American English speaking listeners, pant is something where you pay a deposit on plastic bottles or cans when you buy them. And then when you recycle them, you get that deposit back. And that's not something that exists in the UK, and it's very good. Like I think it's a great idea now. I mean, it's an extra cost, but if you recycle, it's not an extra cost at all.
But is it boring to have one dustbin garbage can just for paper, and one just for food, and one just for glass, and one just for
In towels, the UK, that's the same as well, depending hair. On what the local government does and how they run their recycling.
But it's boring. It's better to just throw everything in one big dustbin.
No, I like recycling. I think...
You like it?
Yeah, I think it's... I genuinely think if you've got a garden, you should be composting your food recycling as well.
What? So you're a natural-born farmer kind of...
Okay. No, I just think you should compost it because it's useful. Like the amount of coffee people get through when they're using their mocha makers and stuff like that, and that's all really good compost material.
So you never throw away that material, you keep it.
We don't have a garden that has a compost, annoyingly. Mm. Otherwise, I would do it, sadly, because I love the idea of it because it's just useful.
Hmm. But do you have it in a big plastic bag and...
Yeah, we had the little green plastic bags that we put in the bin.
So when you get a garden, you have like tons of
coffee. I would definitely do it then. We get a garden.
Very good.
Looking forward to it, actually.
But the roads, they're bad.
The roads. Yeah. But I think roads outside of cities are bad everywhere. I don't think that's a Norway problem. Mm. I think that's because it's... local government has less budget, so they'll spend it on things that they think are more important problem. And the roads are quite low down until they start costing the local government money. Because, I mean, potholes will always get fixed if you take a picture of the pothole and you charge them for the damage it's just done to the car. Like, say you break a wheel arch or something like that going for a pothole. If you take a picture of it and send it, you've got a case to charge the government for it. And the moment it starts costing them money, like local government, then they'll fix the problem. But until then, they'll always prioritize other things. And one of the main things I think districts in Norway like to prioritize, from what I've seen more than anything else, is how great that district is. Like, they love talking about themselves and promoting their district as the best district that you should move to because we've got, I don't know, maybe... one extra Thai massage place than the district next door. We've got, I don't know, Innovation Norway here. And there's one more member of staff from Innovation Norway than we've got in the Innovation Norway in the town next over. You know, it's very, they're all promoting the same thing a lot of the time, I think.
Slogans, every town and every city has a slogan.
Do they?
Yeah, here in Horten you have, we have it in Horten.
Yeah, what have they got?
They have nature, of course.
Ah.
And they have bars, a couple of them, and they have restaurants. First time I heard that, somebody told me in a local pub, they said, we have it in Horten. It was right after I moved there, and I said,
yeah.
What do you have? Do you have something for me? Can you show it to me under the table?
Oh, no.
No, no, we have it here. I said, yeah, okay, where? Let's go outside then.
Yeah.
And I went outside with him and he said, yeah, we have it here in Horten. Said, okay. Are we talking grams or kilograms? What do you have? And he said, oh, we got pubs, bars. We got birds. Look at that bird. That's a crow.
Oh, no.
I said, yeah. And that's a seagull right behind you. Okay. What else do you got? We got trees, plants, we got people with dark skin like yourself, some of them. And we got, an African guy with red beard driving a vehicle for handicaps.
A mobility scooter, yeah.
I said, okay, but I'm thinking of buying a winter jacket. Where can I buy that? Oh, then you need to go to Tønsberg. That's the next town. They have it in Tønsberg.
Oh, no. Language. Hello, thank you for listening to another episode of Language Power. If you liked the episode, please share it with a friend and recommend it to them. The more listeners we have, the better, because it lets us know.
Send us a voicemail, a message. Oh. If you have a question about something you want to know about Norway, as we have in every episode, send it to On Messenger.
Yeah, you can find us on the Language Power Facebook page, the Instagram page, and I think that's the best places to find us, actually. Love you, bye.